Forrest Church said a lot of things. Famously, he said, "Religion is our human response to the dual reality of being alive and knowing we must die." He also said, "The purpose of life is to live in such a way that our lives will prove worth dying for." And he said, "The only thing that can never be taken from us, even by death, is the love we give away before we go." The Reverend Dr. Forrest Church, who died of esophageal cancer at the age of 61 on September 24, 2009, is a person every Unitarian Universalist and perhaps everyone else in the whole world should be acquainted with. His life was an inspiration, although he probably would cringe at my saying that, and his work as historian and theologian has given us a foundation upon which we may all build our own spiritual frameworks. He was born in Palo Alto, California, while his father, Frank Church, was at Stanford Law School. He spent his formative years between Boise and Washington, D.C., where his father served for many years as the U.S. Senator from Idaho. Forrest was not reared as a Unitarian or Unitarian Universalist. Bethine Church, his mother, points to two influences in his life that led him to Unitarian Universalism. The first was his maternal grandmother, a very liberal Quaker who was given to declaring, "There are no sects, S-E-C-T-S, in heaven." Bethine says that Grandmother Clark was the closest thing to a Unitarian that Forrest had in his life. And the other influence was the Jefferson Bible, that remarkable document created by Unitarian Thomas Jefferson by simply cutting up the Christian scriptures to include only what Jefferson felt were the true words of Jesus. U.S. senators are given a copy of this Bible, and Forrest treasured his dad's. He loved that spirit of independent thinking. He was a passionate scholar, headed for a life of research and writing after receiving his Master's of Divinity and doctorate in early church history from Harvard University. But in the summer of 1978, having just gotten the PhD, he worked in a non-UU church in Boston, researching that congregation's history during the week and preaching it to them on Sundays. Ready to head back into a life of academia, Forrest was persuaded otherwise by the minister of the church he had worked for. The man said, according to Bethine, "Forrest, you're like your father. You like people. You'll lose your sparkle if you just research and write." What excellent advice. They cast about for open UU pulpits. Lo and behold, All Souls in New York, a historic but much diminished congregation, was open. This 29-year-old upstart with almost no training to be a parish minister was called over 24 other applicants. He was called in 1978 and served as senior minister, then minister of public theology, until his death. I am focusing this morning on other aspects of his life, but it is important to at least note that his ministry bettered the larger community significantly. The congregation tripled during those years. And what I have always admired most about Forrest is his matter-of-fact, honest, deep, and humorous way of creating theology from the stuff of life. His son Frank said at the New York Memorial Service, "My father wasn't beloved because he was a larger-than-life pulpit legend. It was because he battled and accepted his failures, successes, and his humanity with such transparency and inclusion that despite the obvious pain, suffering, and trials he endured, he was healed emotionally, spiritually, and personally by everyone around him." In 1991, after 22 years of marriage and two children, he and his wife, Amy, were divorced. He married Carolyn Buck Luce in 1992. In the New York Times obituary for Forrest, the writer noted, "While married to his first wife, Amy Firth Church, he met Ms. Luce as a member of his congregation. Their ensuing affair caused a public controversy, but the congregation voted overwhelmingly to keep him as senior minister." Perhaps you can imagine the conflict a congregation goes through when such a situation arises. Perhaps you can imagine the judgment, the sorrow, the recrimination, the anger, the overwhelming emotion of all sides. Perhaps you can imagine how incredibly difficult it is for everyone, whatever their opinions are on the issue. Forrest moved through it, and the love he and Carolyn shared broke open his heart in many ways, changing his life forever and for better. He drank way too much for years, searching to fill the spiritual void, to run from his deepest self, which was God. In his fearlessly honest way, he writes about it in 2002 in Bringing God Home, a book that I particularly love. He says, "Because my wife would not look the other way, and because I had grown bone weary of my penchant for evasion, I couldn't live like this much longer. All my excuses and rationalizations had far outrun their expiration date. After several aborted attempts and long experimentation with variously successful half measures, 1 year ago, I quit drinking." The greatest gift he gave us of his life was his manner of dying, the humor and love that accompanied him through the valley of the shadow. He was diagnosed with cancer in 2006, told he only had months to live, and this turned out not to be true. He spent the next 3 years sharing the meaning he found between being born and dying. He preached his last sermon about 5 times. The last time he returned to the pulpit, only months before his death, he told the congregation, "I'm going to have to either stop saying I'm about to die or just die." In 2008, he wrote Love and Death, My Journey Through the Valley of the Shadow, the most important point of which is this. He says, "Will my love live on forever? I believe so. And your love, too. It will certainly live on after your death, continuing to touch from heart to heart long after you have gone." Before he died, he finished The Cathedral of the World, a Universalist Theology. Elton Hall and I will be teaching a class on that book next fall. I saw Forrest at a kind of farewell party last September at his mother's house, and he said, "I wanted to sum up the theology before I go." He was also typically humorous about himself in that conversation, claiming that he was fundamentally lazy. He said, "Dying slowly suits me well because I get to lie around and read and write." In his 2 dozen books, Forrest covered life and death and love and his father and history and God and the devil and reclaiming religious symbols and early Christian hymns and Paul Tillich, to name but a few of his subjects. Besides love, the one that blesses us most of all his subjects is God, which cropped up in so many ways. The G word, with all the baggage it drags around for so many, can wreak havoc in the minds and hearts of Unitarian Universalists. Some of us have allowed ourselves to accept a narrow, human-shaped version of mystery. Some of us have simply stopped where someone put us a lot of years ago, accepting that their tiny version of the great whatever is what we must accept and therefore reject. Forrest says, "I recognize that for many people the word God has shrunk from repeated use, but we can always restretch it. If you can't manage to do this, if the G word fits your mind more like a straitjacket than like a divine garment, substitute another. Spirit may work for you, or the sacred, or higher power. So long as the scope of your reverence is large enough, it doesn't really matter. Not at all." Forrest speaks of how vigorously he had avoided God in his early preaching years, and he notes, "In a Unitarian Universalist church, this is not difficult. I'm not sure that anyone noticed." He began to notice, and he woke a lot of us to noticing too. Forrest was a highly respected writer, thinker, activist, and public intellectual, so naysayers could not dismiss him as just another of those superstition mongers, another of those weak-willed folks who need a crutch. No. The God he challenged us with requires a lot of courage, bushels of humility, and the willingness to engage deeply, often, and forever. The God he would have us bring into our lives has no name, is unimaginably far from being tied down or tamed by any of our inevitable and puny human efforts. This God is, in his words, greater than all and yet present in each. This God is found when we get out of our little containers of self, when we are brave enough to be open to others, to realize that love, or God, is found in the messy business of living deeply with others. And Forrest's God, the higher power that so many UUs have reclaimed gratefully, is revealed through the process of human experience in this world, participating in the mysterious everyday life of creation. The God of Forrest Church's life can only be found when we are reverent, humble, and willing to be vulnerable to other human beings, to share our own deep joys and sorrows. If we isolate ourselves or believe we are the crown of creation, we cut ourselves off from the soul-opening experience of the great whatever, the mystery that is beyond human knowing. In his last book, Forrest asks three hard questions. Number one, do you love yourself? Have you made peace with yourself? Two, do you love your neighbor? Are you reconciled with your loved ones, even your enemies? And three, do you love God, or whatever you may choose to call that which is greater than all and yet present in each, the life force, the holy? Do you open your heart daily and with deep gratitude for the gift of life, undeserved, mysterious, abundant, challenging, difficult, and blessed? In short, do you love your God? I don't know about you, but I'm very much a work in progress when it comes to those questions. I have to make peace with my human, my humble, humorous efforts over and over. I have a heck of a time not getting so distracted that I forget to love my friends, and as for my enemies, well. And as much as I want to love my God, as faithfully as I open my heart every day, I keep forgetting the gratitude that is the heart of such love. My guess is you're with me in all this, that we are all works in progress. But then so was Forrest Church. He was absolutely as fallible as the rest of us, being different perhaps only in his amazing ability to face himself, sometimes after a long while, and to share his human weaknesses and also his integrity and strengths with so many of us. He told us, "Religion is our human response to the dual reality of being alive and knowing we must die." And he enriched us by sharing his responses with us, changing with the years, changing with life and love and death. He said, "The purpose of life is to live in such a way that our lives will prove worth dying for. And we stand humbled by the worth of his life." He said, "The only thing that can never be taken from us, even by death, is the love we give away before we go." Forrest loved widely and well. May we respond with such integrity to being alive and knowing we will die. May we all live so that it will have been worth it to ourselves and others. Above all, may we continue ever and always to grow the love in our hearts and in our souls.